from Santa Barbara, California. The Timeless Voyager with Bruce Stephen Holmes. Talk radio for the new age. Interviews with well-established professionals in the fields of New Age philosophy, holistic health care, energy healing, psychic phenomena, and extraterrestrial encounters. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager.
And I have with me today a very interesting woman. Her name is Etheria. And incidentally, in the background, you're probably not used to this, I have a little bit of music that Etheria's provided me with by a woman by the name of Marcy. Etheria, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bruce.
And why don't we start right out of the top? What is the name of what you do? Is there a name for it?
Well, there isn't one name, but basically what it's a process of clearing and enlightenment, which enables people to be the same person all of the time, to feel joy and bliss, and to manifest what they would like to manifest in their lives.
So you always, in your advertising, refer to spiritual and psychic counseling and clearing and reprogramming. Why would you use a term like clearing, and why a term like reprogramming? Let's start with clearing. What is it that clearing does for the human being?
Okay. What clearing does for the human being is clearing enables a person to stay on one channel all of the time. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you hear the little voices inside of your head, one is saying, go to the beach. The other one's saying, go to work. The other one is saying, you're too fat. The other one's saying, you're too thin. It enables you to be in one channel all of the time, which is your higher self, your primary personality, which is the one that will be present. So clearing basically is removing subpersonalities, removing blocks.
Let's talk about for a moment, what is a subpersonality? Are these the personalities you were just talking about?
Yes, these are the personalities I was just talking about. They are personalities that have been developed generally during childhood when we come to a situation that we're not able to deal with, either emotionally, mentally, we're just not equipped to experience what is going to take place. So our primary personality recedes or withdraws, and a subpersonality comes into play, and this subpersonality engages in the interaction. Now, some are from this particular lifetime, and some are from other lifetimes.
So we bring some of these subpersonalities with us from, let's say, past incarnations?
Yes.
Do we pick some of these up along the way during our incarnation?
Yes.
And I feel like I'm going to win the contest. And finally, do we also create of our own?
Yes.
Some of these, so I got all three right.
Yes. Yes. All three.
I feel
are.
Great already, folks. I've
You've gotten
three
the,
right.
The third door.
Why don't you then continue about how clearing then is done by you?
Clearing is done. I use three different processes. One is sound, the other is visualization, and one is reprogramming. Reprogramming is actually part of the clearing process. Say that you would like to manifest prosperity in your life, and your mother and father were both at the time during the Depression, and they ran out of money, and they have this tremendous experience of not having enough, and you grew up in this kind of environment, so you automatically take on the kind of lack and limitation consciousness that they had when you were a child. So now you're 35 years old and you look around and you go, well, gee, you know, my friend Joe over here has a new car and a nice house, and he's taking a vacation to Hawaii, and you'd like to have the same. So what this does is I would remove the consciousness, actually the subpersonality that developed as a child, that holds you in a consciousness of lack and limitation. And then after removing that subpersonality, then go in and program you for prosperity on whatever level it is you desire to have that, and also whatever you are scripted to have if you're not scripted to have a lot, then you won't, because each of us are here doing what our soul needs to have experience for us. And so that needs to be very clear also.
All right, so you use the term sound. How do you do this with sound?
I make sounds.
All right.
That I'm guided to make.
Do these come from you? Do they come through you?
They come through me. What happens first is I ask you to put your ego into the ground in a nice, safe, comfortable spot so that it's not blocking any interaction.
Why the ground of all reasons?
Well, it could go anywhere, but the ground is convenient. Mm-hmm. We're all familiar with the ground, and it's something we can visualize
very easily. Stable.
Safe, stable, comfortable, warm, nurturing, loving. So the ego goes into the ground to stay, and then I go into direct dialogue with the subpersonality. I ask that particular subpersonality to become present, and at that point we have a dialogue.
Now, I need to ask these questions. Do
sure.
you know for sure that a person is not playing a game with you?
If the subpersonality is not present, I can see that.
Okay.
Yes. And if their ego has not gone down, I can also see that.
So do you sometimes spend the majority of the time trying to get someone's ego to go into the ground?
Sometimes I have to do it two or three times
sure.
because the ego doesn't go. And then sometimes I get into the subpersonality with them and they lose it partway through.
And the ego will come back?
The ego will come back, or they'll move into their mind or something like that. So I can see exactly what's going on with someone.
I ask that because I would think in my particular case, I have such a strong ego.
Yes, you do.
I could probably have a real difficult time. We are going to try mm-hmm. this later.
Yes.
But with me running all of the machinery in order to make a radio show, my ego's got lots of reasons why it should be present.
Right.
So we'll see how it works. Did I interrupt you on anything there in the clearing? You were talking about the sounds.
The sound, and then I use visualization.
Okay, let's come back to the sound for a second. Where do the sounds come from?
The sounds are guided through me. They
come from some realm. Is that a good word of saying, a way of saying that? From some realm?
My higher self interacts with your higher self. The sounds that I make are resonant sounds that facilitate the clearing of the subpersonalities or grid work or crystallization or blocks. So
grid work meaning?
Grid work around each body, just around like planet Earth, there is a grid work of energy systems.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are beneficial and some of them are quite not so beneficial. And so I'm also able to use particular sounds, and in each case they're different. They're just because it's for you doesn't mean that I have the same sound for another person.
So this is like cleaning house. I mean,
this is like cleaning your own personal body's house. You know, your physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and etheric bodies all at the same time. And then the reprogramming moves you into the consciousness that you have chosen to be in, whether that's prosperity or joy or love or bliss. Or
can't you have them all?
You can have them all, of course. That's the ideal, is to have all of them.
How about the idea of visualization? How do you use that?
I use visualization to teach people techniques to facilitate this process for themselves once they've reached a certain level, so that they can clear and balance their chakras and so that they're also able to energize themselves.
So this becomes autonomous, which I think is very important to everyone. You don't want to be dependent.
No.
Not that you aren't a wonderful person, Etheria, but if I move to Tallahassee, Florida, I want to be able to take care of myself. So you teach this in an autonomous way.
Yes. This process is not about following me. This process is about getting in touch with your own guidance and following your guidance. I am merely the facilitator to assist in the clearing so that you reach that state and maintain it all of the time. Not just reach it for a moment, but stay there 24 hours a day.
Okay, so we've covered visualization and sound. What was the third one?
The reprogramming.
Reprogramming. Mm-hmm. Could you go over that a little bit then?
I do reprogramming a few different ways. One is almost a hypnotic, suggestive state, which I program you into do a certain body movement or something that will help you to move back into the state where you've chosen to be.
I'll learn some little technique that will allow me to, in a sense, grab or return to what you gave me when it's lost.
Yes. When you momentarily lose it, or when you feel a subpersonality trying to re-enter your field, or, you know, you're in a situation that could be stressful, supposedly, and you've been programmed to do a certain thing, you do that, and you move right back into that consciousness.
Could you give just an example? I'm not, asking for anything real complicated, but some simple little thing. What would be?
Well, one of the simplest is I teach people to squeeze their thumb. It's very simple.
So it's something that, in other words, the reason I ask is because if you were in a working environment, you would want to have something that was subtle.
Yes, you can do it anywhere. No one will even notice.
Sure, that's great.
Yes. That's one of the ways. And then another one of the ways is I work with ascended masters who are in direct connection also with your soul or your higher self. And we are like computers are beings, and they put in computer chips that actually help to just program you for the things that you desire, whether that, like I say, joy or prosperity or more understanding or compassion or peace or whatever it is you're working on.
Okay, now there are a lot of people who are afraid of this. They may be in other religious orders. They just do not seem to have an understanding. What could you say to relieve someone of that fear, to make them feel that this is okay? It's not, quote, the work of the devil or something like that.
This process should not interfere with anything that anyone chooses to do, be it religious or philosophical or theosophical. This can only enhance whatever it is you are now doing, because this brings clarity to whatever your particular system is that you choose to live by. This also gives you unlimitedness, so that you view whatever system it is in the perspective that it is a system. And yes, it works right now, and other things can also work. And the first thing that I would do with someone like that is I would remove fear.
So fear in itself is a subpersonality that is negative in essence. It's causing...
Limiting in essence, Limiting in essence, because it's blocking the particular person from having experiences that they could have if they didn't have the fear.
I asked you a question last week. I said, are there subpersonalities that we need, and how do we know that you're taking the ones that we need and maybe leaving the ones that we don't need? And what is your response to that? I don't remember what your response was.
Yes. Well, towards the end of the process, I do a process called the Violet Ray, which at that time, all of the subpersonalities that are remaining are exited. The ones that are left with you are fully integrated into you, so that you're no longer split by hearing all those voices. So full integration occurs at that point, and then you move into the enlightenment state.
So the personalities that stay are the ones that are helpful.
The ones that are beneficial to your particular being.
The ones that you remove or allow to leave.
They not only are allowed, but they choose. Mm-hmm. We have a dialogue, and I don't do anything that everyone doesn't agree to. So the subpersonality has to agree to leave, has to want to leave. I assure them as to where they're going, how it's going to be, that it's quite all right for them there, and that they have completed their work with the being that they're with, so that they're not bad and being banished. They're just complete.
Because otherwise, wouldn't they return if you were to extract them, let us say?
Exactly.
So, once again, what we have now is a situation of a person just can't walk in and pay you a certain amount of money and say, get rid of this thing, because if that thing is important to them or part of their life or part of their learning process, you can't remove that thing, can you?
Correct. No.
So people who come to you are aware of that. You, I guess, tell them that, or?
Well, I counsel people as to the depth and the qualities of this work. When you begin this work, there is basically no going back. You start this and you begin to get cleared. And if generally, no one has come in here to really harm themselves. Everyone has come in to experience certain things. And when you are clear in hearing your guidance and in love and loving yourself, then whatever experiences you're having are not usually detrimental. We can usually experience and learn the things that we need to in a very gentle, loving ways. The things that get us into trouble are the subpersonalities generally, and the fears and the doubts, the obsessions, the compulsions, the things like that, that no one needs any of those. No one has come in programmed to be in fear. I've not seen anyone in that state. I've seen them come in and have to go through certain experiences, but they're not bad or good. They're just experiences.
We're going to try this. Would you call this reprogramming and clearing?
This will be clearing, and I will reprogram you also.
You've asked me some questions. What would I like to get rid of? And I said I do have compulsions, but I question how important my compulsions are to my work. And your response was?
Well, I said that you can be successful without being compulsive. The compulsiveness is not just in the area of you being successful at what you do. The compulsiveness is generally overrun in most of your life. So if you remove the compulsion, you can still be successful.
So
possibly
desire,
even more successful, mm-hmm, because you're in direct connection with your guidance as opposed to the compulsiveness.
So the compulsiveness acts as an intermediary, would you say, with desire or guidance? How would you categorize what compulsion would do?
Okay. For you, compulsion came in at around 3 years old. And it was during an interaction with your parents, and it was about food. That was your first experience with compulsion. And since then, compulsion has branched out into many areas of your life. It's not just food or one thing now. So
senses.
Yes, yes. So it no longer serves you in the way that it served you when you were 3 years old. You are complete with that aspect of self. Hmm. Neither one of you are gaining anything from the relationship, shall we say. So to remove the compulsion means that you'll eat when you feel like it or when you really want to. You'll do your work when you're more guided to, when it feels appropriate, as opposed to, like, I've got to work 12 hours today because yesterday I took the day off.
Right. Compulsively.
Right, compulsively. So it will remove those aspects so that you won't be owned by another self.
Well, let's try it. And listeners, I hope that you enjoy this. I'll go with it. And I always feel like a guinea pig these days. So what would you like me to do?
Okay. First, Bruce, I'd like you to visualize a ball of light over your head.
So you want me to close my eyes?
Close your eyes. Uh-huh. Just visualize a ball of light over your head. And take a good deep breath down into your kundalini. Good. Now I'd like you to send your ego, which this ball of light is, down into the ground deeply. Send it down into a nice long tunnel that goes very deep into the earth, where it's very safe and warm and comfortable. And let's get it down. It's right about eye level still. So let's bring it down. Down past the throat. Good. Now I'd like to speak to the subpersonality that compulses. Just allow the voice to come. It has nothing to do with your mind. During each of these three-day groups, you are cleared to the level that your being is ready to be cleared at. Mm-hmm. Then light is brought in and your vibration is raised once again to the level that you're ready to be raised to. And then you have a few weeks in between to adjust to this new vibration.
So you allow time for integration to occur.
That's correct. Time for integration, adjustment, for feeling the new way of being so that it becomes more real. The more real that it can become to you, the easier it is for you to do it. By the end of the fourth initiation, people are in a state of enlightenment. They are able to maintain this. They have seen all of their subpersonalities leave. You see, this is why I have dialogue with the subpersonalities. I have the ability to just clear them. I actually have the ability to take you into instant enlightenment, but it does no good because you can't hold it. So as I clear the subpersonalities, you're having the awareness of them. You're having the, aha, that's what that is. That's what happens when, you know, I'm feeling depressed or I'm feeling lonely or I'm feeling afraid. So then as that is cleared, and then if it starts to come back, you can see it and you can identify what it is and release it. Each time you release it, you build power and energy in your own structure. So by the end of the fourth, you're well equipped at doing this. There are also other techniques for clearing and balancing the chakras, which are take just moments. They don't take a long time. And then for energizing, and then for manifesting. And those are the basic techniques that I teach as you go through the process.
So this is a quite a bit of schooling that a person receives during these 12 sessions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here comes the question, what does this cost? I mean, if everyone, can anyone afford this? Is this, let's say that's a good question. Why would a person pay to have this done in the first place?
Well, because
without even knowing the cost, why would someone do this?
Because if you're stuck in subpersonalities and your life is not functioning the way you'd like it to, then this is the quickest, easiest way to get from point A to point B that I know of.
Mm-hmm. So this is an actual pragmatic method of changing your life.
Yes.
So these are the things that people would certainly want in life. Would you term this as being enlightened?
Yes, I would term enlightenment as being in the bliss state all of the time, being on one channel, never changing channels.
Okay, now the channels being?
The channels being the subpersonalities.
So let's take an example. Person A gets up in the morning and has a thought. I think I'm going to change my life. I'm going to get a new job. I've had enough. I'll tell my boss today. Is that where the subpersonalities enter?
Yes.
For example, the fear personality comes
in
and says,
that is a subpersonality.
Well, you can't do that today because you haven't planned what you'll do next.
Before that, the thought is a subpersonality.
Even that thought was
a thought was a sabotage, a self-sabotage subpersonality.
It was.
Yes.
How do you?
Well, I see that.
Okay.
Being in guidance is not about being in thought.
So it was a thought. It wasn't. You weren't guided.
It wasn't guidance to go and change your job. So if you're going to do it and it's not really in your script, in your guidance, then you're going to create problems for yourself.
So when we're talking about clearing subpersonalities, we're even talking about clearing thoughts that are sabotaging thoughts.
Absolutely.
Thoughts that are, they could even be positive in nature, but they're still thoughts. So what are we looking for then?
We're looking to hear the God voice all the time, the guidance that comes through. I'll describe it in a few ways. It's a sense of being underwater. It's a sense of walking almost in like a slow motion underwater and talking in a slow motion like underwater. Some people hear a voice. I have it multidimensionally is what I have. So I also hear a voice that comes in my right ear that guides me to be in the right place at the right time. I also have full body sensation. When I'm perfectly in guidance, my whole body feels perfectly balanced, aligned, and joyous.
So you know when you're doing something that's right.
Right.
And if that balance begins to shift, then you know that that's not the place to go.
Once you go through this process, the minute that you're out of guidance, if you're doing something not in guidance, you feel it immediately. Physically, mentally, emotionally, all of you feels it. So immediately you kind of look at where you are, see what's going on, and then release the things that are not in your guidance. This is about putting people in touch with their own personal, most prosperous script. It's not about following me.
Let's talk about something very important. What does this have to do with the world?
The process of enlightenment is enabling the whole planet to move into the enlightened state, which it is in the process of doing already. There are many like yourself, Bruce, who are very high consciousness, who have been involved in different disciplines for many, many years, who have worked on themselves for a long time. And also I've found that many people like yourself have come to the point of enlightenment before in many other lifetimes. And for many different reasons, public opinion, it wasn't appropriate, fear, doubt of really attaining enlightenment, have not moved through into the full enlightened state. The entire planet will be enlightened at some point because we are moving into a golden age. The only way to get from the hut to the castle is to remove the garbage that I remove. Once this is removed, you're in your natural state, which is the enlightened state. I am assisted by many, many ascended masters. I am assisted by space beings. I am assisted by divas. I am assisted by even flies when I'm out on location. I am assisted by just about everything on every dimension that is available to us. I tell the people in my groups that, yes, I am the one you see, and I am in front of you doing this process with you, but you are being worked on every dimension of your being, every level, areas that most people will never even see. We are opening up to the golden age, an age of joy, bliss, abundance for everyone. An experience of being fully in our bodies, in healthy, happy bodies that work really well. All of these things are available to all of us.
When I listen to you say these things, they sound very good. I mean, how could anyone disagree with what you're doing? The question that comes up, and I have it, it's presented to me all the time, and I'll present it to you. None of us are able to move through life without having a way to earn a living. We are so immersed in false priorities.
Yes.
That we lose sight of the important priorities.
We are not human beings looking for a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, and that's what we forget.
And so when the human experience is, in a sense, overwhelming, it's completely overshadowed our spiritual being, then it seems, I guess, expensive to take $400 that you would normally spend on a new television set, which is going to last for 2 years or less.
Right.
Take that $400 and put it into our system, which is infinite and immortal.
Correct.
And so,
which is the better bargain?
Right. What is the thing here?
Right.
Is not that we don't have $400 to spend, but that we have to take our priorities and decide.
Yes.
It is true, though, that a lot of people are going to be skeptical about what you do, skeptical about how you present this. What are some of the things that you can say to try to perhaps ease the skepticism that you may or may not come in contact with, or if, do you even see it?
Well, sometimes on the first session, if someone will come for a private session, they may have some skepticism, especially when I make the sounds. You know, their mind comes in and goes, well, that can't be anything real. You know, that's just a sound she's making. But when they leave the room and call me generally the next day and say that they feel different, not only do they feel different, but they went home and their wife or their husband said, gee, you look different. What happened to you? And then people around them, that kind of ripples out. People around them begin to say, you are different. You look different. You're acting different. You feel different. I let people bring me the feedback. I don't generally try to convince them of anything because that's not my job, to convince people. My job is to show up and do what I'm asked to do in facilitating the clearing and the bringing the enlightenment to the planet, which we're all going to have if we choose to stay here.
Let's just take a moment to explain to the listeners that this is not something that you read in a book. This is something that you have learned to do by placing your ego aside.
Yes.
So when I look at you, the first thing I say, Etheria, who's Etheria? I mean, how do you come up with a name like that? Mm-hmm. Secondly, what is it for? What are you doing? Why do you need the money? Again, this is all ego stuff.
Right.
When you take the ego and separate it, mm-hmm. if that's possible, that's where this, you know, the skepticism comes in from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. All right, we can separate it. We move the ego aside. Well, if you can move your ego aside, that is something that's extraordinary.
That's right.
Because then what is happening? Who is really teaching then? Not you. That's
not
what
me.
You've been saying.
Right.
So you are becoming nothing right. more than a channel of information
right.
that is going directly from
higher self to higher self. I'm a conductor of energy. I respond to what your particular being needs to have occur is basically what happened. When I'm clearing things like this, some of these subpersonalities have been in residence, so to speak, for many, many lifetimes, and they are attached to hanging around. My job is to work with them, is to just talk to them and interact with them until they really see that what they needed to do with that being is complete.
And but what if it isn't complete?
Then I can't
that.
Remove them.
Yeah, because I remember what you were saying. You assured me that it was complete. Now, is
right.
that because you know that it was complete when you said that? Is it possible for you to be wrong?
No.
Okay.
Because it's not me.
Right.
I'm not making decisions or judgments. I'm being guided as to what your soul needs to have for itself. By the end of the third day, you are operating at a new level of energy and consciousness. And then we wait about 3 weeks and then do it, 2 to 3 weeks, and then do it again. So that by the end of the fourth initiation, you are in an enlightened state all of the time. Each group is unique in the dynamics and the energy and the people that are present and what needs to occur for them. So it's never exactly the same. The issues are generally the same types of issues, such as fear, doubt, anxiety, you know, the general things that most people have. Sometimes we use different trees to assist in the clearing process. Sometimes space.
How would you use a tree?
A tree. Well, we have a particular tree that we use in Sedona that's called a medicine tree that was used by many, many Indians for the same process that we're using it for. And people go up and they begin to put their body against the tree and then release whatever it is we're in contact with at that point into the tree. The tree will take it down into the ground and just like pull it out of your body.
So this tree has been used for this
by many Indian tribes over the centuries.
For so, who knows
yes.
how long this tree's
who
been
knows
doing
how
this.
Long? I have no idea how long.
All right. And then space beings or extraterrestrials.
Yes.
How do they help?
They come in. They're very helpful in removing grid work and in rewiring auric fields. When you begin to pull out the old garbage, you pull out a lot of the grid work that's around the body, just like around planet Earth. There's also energy grid work. And they come in and they put in new grid work and new energies that help the body to sustain the new energy and also to amplify whatever abilities you now have and bring you into the things that you scripted for yourself to have in this particular lifetime. So whatever it is your particular gifts and abilities are on this planet at this time, they will come into full expression going through this process because they're no longer blocked.
So most of us don't know what our gifts are yet. Is that right?
Some of us have an inkling. I did not know that I would have this gifts in my hands and my eyes when I began the process, no. After about the second initiation, I began to feel them.
Now, who did you study with?
I worked with a woman in Los Angeles named Alexandra, who this process came to her through her own healing process of her body over a 2-year period of time, and it was developed in that way.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this since August of last year.
And there must be a lot of other people doing this, or?
No, there are not a lot of other people doing this. There are about 4 that we know of. When a consciousness comes in on the planet, generally it comes in many areas. So we know of 4 in the United States, shall we say, but it is a large planet and there could be others in other places.
When you give this autonomous technique to other people, though, do they take on this teaching responsibility themselves if they're so guided to do that?
If they're guided to do that, then yes, they do. Each person who goes through the process becomes a teacher on some level to the people around them. We have people who work on TV or in radio or the gas company or do massage therapy or, you know, any number of functions, and wherever they happen to function, their consciousness opens up and people begin to see the changes in them and are drawn to that energy. So they become a teacher in that sense.
Well, Etheria, if you have a few minutes, what would you like to say to my audience or to our audience at this point?
I'd like to say that each of you have the ability to be in your God self all the time. I invite you to take part in your own awakening and move fully into an enlightened state so that your life is filled with joy, bliss, prosperity, and we begin to assist each other on the planet in that way.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on my show, Etheria. I hope that you will come back again.
I'd like to thank you also, Bruce, for inviting me. I've enjoyed being here very much.
And look forward to seeing you and hearing about you in the days to come.